This is UN and Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Matthew Wells. In this week's programme, the economy of war is threatening the Central African Republic's fragile recovery. And we hear how satellite imagery is providing a clearer picture of the ancient city of Timbuktu's reconstruction. But first, serious human rights violations are continuing in South Sudan and are more serious than previously thought, according to a visiting UN Human Rights Commission. Civil conflict erupted in the African country 3 years ago, leading to the deaths of thousands of people and forcing almost 3 million more to flee their homes. During their 10-day visit, the team of three commissioners met with government officials and visited communities displaced by conflict in the capital Juba and the towns of Malakal, Bentiu and Wau. Philip Wani reports from South Sudan.
In a daunting statement, the commissioners said the unprecedented levels of violence and ethnic tensions offer fault lines along which the country could fracture. Commission Chairperson Yasmin Suka noted what she called a total breakdown of law and order with hardly any formal courts of law in operation.
As one woman put it to me, in South Sudan there is no law. What is here is the law of the jungle. Coupled with that is the fact that forced and child recruitment is being conducted by all parties to the conflict.
Suka said the international community has an obligation to prevent mass killings and stop the country from falling into catastrophe. She outlined specific immediate steps.
These are sanctions, asset freezes, an arms embargo, and the immediate deployment of the 4,000-strong protection force in South Sudan, which should not be restricted to the capital alone.
On justice and accountability, the commissioners stressed the need to compile and preserve evidence for future accountability. Commissioner Kenneth Scott said there's no time to wait for the hybrid court to act on violations and ensure justice for victims.
We don't have to wait for a full court to be set up. We can set up the investigative component first and then build the rest of the court, if you will, as we go. We have to get some investigative element on the ground as soon as possible.
Godfrey Musila, a legal consultant from Kenya and member of the commission, noted a worrying spread of violence.
We've established that the situation is much more serious and more concerning than earlier thought. We, in fact, visited Eastern Equatoria. We were in Imatong, and we went to a number of places. Violations are still happening, serious violations.
The team was mandated by the Human Rights Council in Geneva to monitor and report on the situation of human rights in the country and make recommendations for its improvement. This is the second field visit to South Sudan and will be presenting their report to the council in March.
The Central African Republic's economy of war and chronic suffering are among the biggest threats to the country's fragile recovery, the UN has heard. With nearly half of the population in need of humanitarian assistance, around $400 million needs to be found to aid recovery efforts. Here's Daniel Johnson in Geneva.
Decades of conflict and massive displacement have brought the Central African Republic, or CAR, so low that it is one of the poorest countries on earth. Around 1.6 million people are in dire need of humanitarian assistance, and that's despite an improvement in aid access since violence between non-state actors reached crisis levels in 2013. UN Humanitarian Coordinator for the country, Fabrizio Hochschild, raised the alarm at a press conference in Geneva.
The Republic of Central Africa is, I think one can say this, among the most poor, most forgotten, neglected places on this planet. And that chronic poverty and obscurity has been compounded by ongoing conflict. In the last 3 months, 6 conflicts erupted, leading to hundreds of deaths, tens of thousands of people being displaced, and it happened, I don't know if it commanded a single line or two in the international press.
The hope is that the pledging conference earlier this month in Brussels will help raise interest in the country. But the challenge is immense, and this is acknowledged by Fabrizio Hochschild. He highlights how the UN's biggest peacekeeping mission there, MINUSCA, is stretched very thin in a country the size of France and Belgium combined. Outside the capital, Bangui, Mr. Hochschild also describes an economy of war that's preventing peaceful development and which is responsible for poverty so extreme that 1 in 5 children in the country dies before they see their 5th birthday. Although the UN representative believes there are no quick fixes for CAR, he hopes that this time it could be a beacon of peace in a troubled region. This is partly because the country now has its first democratically elected government, which is actively engaging with international partners. One of its ministers was in Geneva to talk about the Special Truth and Justice Tribunal, which will hear some of the worst cases of human rights violations from previous conflicts.
Mais pour des actes comme viol sur les femmes ou tuerie, eh bien, ça sera la Cour pénale spéciale.
Speaking in French, Virginie Bacoua, Minister of Social Affairs and National Reconciliation, tells journalists how the government is clawing back control of regions from anti-government forces and working with UN's MINUSCA peacekeeping mission and the EU to retrain its military. And there is promising news elsewhere. Already, school attendance is up to almost 75% after being at just 30% 3 years ago. And while Bangui a year ago in September 2015 saw violence hit crisis levels once again, this October a temporary flare-up was brought under control within 24 hours. What's needed now is to consolidate this progress and to take it to other areas. Clearly, it's going to take more than a year to do this, the UN says. Daniel Johnson, United Nations, Geneva.
Space technology is contributing to the reconstruction of one of the world's most iconic heritage sites, Timbuktu in northern Mali. That's according to an information management specialist with the UN Development Programme, UNDP, Bertrand Frot. He said UNDP is helping to rebuild the centuries-old city, which was destroyed by conflict over the past few years. The agency is using satellite imagery to monitor the reconstruction and its impact on people living there. Mr. Frot was in Dubai recently for the first high-level forum on space as a driver for socio-economic sustainable development, a meeting organised by the UN Office for Outer Space Affairs, UNOOSA. He told Diane Penn why a single satellite map beats a multi-page report.
Space technologies are fantastic. They have a great impact in terms of visibility, in terms of cooperation, of planning, and also of communication. We use space technologies in two ways. First, for communication. Our country offices use satellite communications when they cannot do anything else. We also provide satellite communication to remote populations, for example, internet connectivity to some schools or to some youth programs or to some villages which are in a difficult situation and who could not have internet otherwise. And second subject is imagery and analysis of imageries. And this is changing the way we monitor and we plan our projects. When we have a map and satellite images on top of the map, everything becomes much more clear.
And I wonder if you can give us an example of that technology and function in practice.
Yes, in Mali, and in northern Mali, you know, it's a region with nice cities like Timbuktu, Mopti, Gao, Kidal, where you cannot go anymore without being accompanied by the MINUSMA.
And for people who may not be familiar with, first of all, those cities, but there may be people who may not know the significance of those cities and why you can't go there without MINUSMA, which is the UN's mission in Mali.
There was a war in Mali in 2012-2013, and effectively Timbuktu is a treasure of the planet. And there are people living in all those cities. So we are rebuilding the infrastructure after they have been destroyed by the terrorists during the war. So we are mandated to rebuild the public infrastructures in these cities. And in Timbuktu, we have used a satellite map to monitor the reconstruction. How did it improve and where we are today? So today we can have a nice map of Timbuktu with some images of what we did and the impacts also of what we did. We can see now some markets which have reappeared around the public infrastructure that were rebuilt. We can see also what remains to be done. There is a road crossing Timbuktu which is destroyed. It was an asphalt road. Now it's just a sand track. So it was taking you 15 minutes before the war to cross Timbuktu. Now it's more than 2 hours. So we know what we have done, we see the impact, and we know what we can do now in the future.
Diane Penn there, speaking to UNDP's Bertrand Frot. And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN and Africa. You can follow more of our programmes at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Matthew Wells.